Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we come before you so thankful for that precious, precious blood. We sang all morning about the hope we have in Jesus and what you have done for us. And so we just are here to say thank you and to give you all the glory and all the praise. And we ask that you be with Brother Cal as he delivers his sermon that he's prepared for. Open our hearts to hear the preaching and teaching of God's word. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I don't know what's going to excite y'all, but if you can't get excited about the sweet, precious flow of the blood of Jesus, you need a good dose of joy. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, it's about the blood. Amen. If you have a Bible this morning, we're pushing through the little book of Philemon. It's been a great blessing for me as I had the opportunity to study it again. And so I've entitled the message today, What Do You Do When a Thief Wants to Join the Church? What do you do? Well, the Word of God has an answer for us to that question. So we're going to read, start there. There's only 25 verses in Philemon. And I hope you've been reading those verses this week because it really helps you if you show up to know what we're talking about. So we're in Philemon 8, verses 8 through 16. Let's stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Very good. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten, that word there means to declare, to be born, while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I'm sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, would you honor and bless your word this morning? God, we need to hear from heaven. Thank you for this little book of Philemon that's tucked way over in the New Testament pages that's not very often read. But God, there's a great message in it for the church. So I pray your blessings as we read the word, as we teach the word, and as we preach the word, God, that you might fall fresh on us and that you would lead us to the decisions that you would have everybody in this room to make today. In Jesus' name we ask it. All God's children responded by saying, amen. Amen. Please be seated if you can. It's estimated, that in Paul's day, there were over 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire. 60 million. Slaves from all different backgrounds, walks of life, all different nationalities. There were 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire. And a slave back in those days really was nothing more than a piece of merchandise to buy and sell. And the average slave was sold for about 500 denarii, which a denarius would be one day's labor for a common laborer. And so most slaves were bought and sold for around 500 denarii. Now, there was a lot of educated and very cultured slaves, and they could bring as much as 50,000 denarii. And so you had this thing. Now, the Bible, I mean, let me tell you, can I just say this up front? God's not into slavery. He's not for slavery as we know it, right? But the Bible just presents the good and the bad and the ugly. And so there's a man in your story, and he's writing to Philemon, and Philemon was a very well-respected man in Colossae. He was hosted the church in Colossae that met in his house, and Philemon was well-respected. He was honored. He was a man of influence and probably a wealthy man. He was a slave owner. And he had this slave by the name of Onesimus. And now, if you were a slave and your slave ran away from home, what you would do is contact the officials, and then the slave's name would be put on a wanted list. And so, if you were in slavery back in those days, you just really were in a tough way. And you just wound up on some wanted list if you ran away from your slave owner. And so a slave was really nothing more than an expensive piece of financial property. And it would cost an owner to lose someone. And that's exactly what had happened to Philemon. Onesimus had run away from his slave owner, Philemon. And as providence would, and by the way, there's good evidence here in this scripture that he stole some money and took some of his master's possessions with him. And he decided to go to Rome where he could hide out in that big city. Y'all with me so far? And as providence, as God would have it, guess who Onesimus met when he was in Rome? And I want to tell you, if you ever met the Apostle Paul, you were going to get a big dose of the gospel. And Onesimus heard the gospel and was wonderfully and gloriously saved. And so before we start looking down our noses at Onesimus, every single one of us was a thief. I know that doesn't make you happy to hear that, but brothers and sisters, the Bible says if we have sinned in one part, we've broken all the commandments. All right, so Onesimus thought he was hiding out, and so in Rome, and he winds up getting saved, and he's great help for the Apostle Paul there in that Roman prison cell. And he's helping Paul get the gospel out there from prison. And so Paul's writing to Philemon at the church in Colossae, and he's telling him, you need to receive this brother of ours now. And so how would Philemon receive? Hallelujah, we got life in the church. Amen. And so how would Philemon receive Onesimus? More importantly, how would the church receive Onesimus? And can I just meddle for a minute? How would you receive someone who had hurt you badly and cost you financially? How would Second Mile Church receive someone who had been caught stealing and thieving and all of that? How would we? Well, the Word of God answers all these questions and more for us. So here's the first thing that I think answers part of this question for us. How do we receive people in the church? How should they be taken in? How should they be approved? Well, the Word of God tells us that the first thing that every church ought to do is accept him or her on the basis of their regeneration, on the basis of their salvation. Now, word had probably spread quickly in Colossae, not a big town, not a big city, about Philemon's runaway slave. And bless God, don't you know that word spread real quick in the church? Oh, come on, y'all. Yeah, word spreads quickly amongst believers. Amen? And so word had gotten out that this runaway slave Onesimus is missing, and he's probably taken quite a bit of money, stolen some possessions, and wound up taking some things. But something glorious had happened to Onesimus. Man, he had been wonderfully and gloriously saved. Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus? Thank you for singing that song today. The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I told you the word begotten that Paul's using there in verses 9 and 10 is the word that means to be born, to be delivered. And bless God, Onesimus had been born again. He had been delivered from his sin. And so Paul begins to appeal to Philemon, not on the basis of slavery, but on the basis of salvation. Hallelujah. And that's a great, great point for us, because listen to this. Galatians 3, I ran across this verse this week, just kind of fueled the fire for me. It says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. Now, he's not talking about transgenderism here, okay? For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Neither slave nor free, for we're one in Christ Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, we're one. Hallelujah. And so Onesimus had been saved, and Paul says, you need to receive him now, not as some piece of property. You need to receive him as a brother in the Lord. And how many of you know the ground is level at the foot of the cross? We're all equal spiritually. Amen? There isn't anybody any better in God's eyes than one another. And can I just say this real quick? Don't y'all put me up on some pedestal. You put me up on some pedestal, you know what I'll do? I'll fall off of it. You pray for me. But I'm not any better than anybody else up in here. Our deacons are not any better than anybody. We're just servants of the Lord. We're just trying to do what God's called us to do. But we're one in Christ Jesus. There's nothing like the family of God. Thank God for the family of the Lord Jesus. And so Paul's asking Philemon and the church at Colossae to receive Onesimus as a brother in the Lord. Now, let me just park right here and say a few things about church membership, can I? I've learned over 30 plus years in the pastorate, not everybody's supposed to be a member of Second Mile Church. Not everybody's supposed to be a member of this church. But in order to become a member of this church, bless God, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. You need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think this is what's wrong with the church in America today. Our churches are full of lost people. People who've never been changed by the power of Almighty God. You see it, I see it, I've seen it happen over and over again. There'll be a great demonstration of the power of God in the church, and ultimately somebody will always start fussing and complaining and griping. I've told you all, we were baptizing folks like crazy in this little bitty rural church years ago that Diane and my girls were in. And we led the Baptist Association up in Kentucky that year in baptisms. And I think we baptized 28 or 29 people. And there were some huge churches in our association. That's just because God believes in saving folks. All right? And you know what one of the members said? We baptized 7 of those kids. And this person said, I wonder what the water bill's going to be this month. And you know me. I said, I hope it triples. And I hope it quadruples. And I hope we have to baptize folks every single Sunday. So praise God, you know. By the way, all of you love and respect and highly admire Billy Graham. You know what he said in the 70s? In the 70s, He said 80% of the church is lost. You know why he said that? Because of the 80-20 rule. 20% of the people do 80% of the ministry. 20% of the people give 80% of the money. And so he's I don't know if that's exactly where he was coming from, but if 80% of the church is lost, no wonder the church in America is lacking relevance and power today. But that's not happening here at Second Mile Church. We believe that every person who becomes a member here who wants to join this fellowship has to be saved and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Glory to His name. And so, let me just meddle just a little bit longer. There's a lot of people who claim to be saved, but they're no more saved than a man in the moon. And all you've got to do is look at their lifestyle. Hello? The Bible says that you can know what kind of person is by the fruit that they're bearing. And if they're bearing good fruit, those fruits of the Spirit in Galatians, you know, love, peace, joy, patience, if they're bearing that kind of spiritual fruit in their life, probably they've got a good dose of Jesus. But on the other hand, if they're not bearing any fruit, or bad fruit, they're either backslidden or lost. Now, I want you to listen to this. This scares me. Really, it just unnerves me. Listen to what Matthew says in Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. How many of y'all have heard people say, well, you can't judge me? That's a bunch of hogwash. We can judge somebody's lifestyle. Now, God is the ultimate judge, but we can make some evaluations. We can make some assessments. We can make some decisions about whether or not somebody's bearing any kind of spiritual fruit or not. And we know by what kind of, and then when you judge that, and by the way, the word judge means to look down your nose at somebody with a critical, better than thou attitude, okay? And so don't let somebody get by, well, you can't judge me. Oh, yes, I can. Here it is. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit. But a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Now here's the part that really gets me. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. He who does the will of my Father. You see, if you're born again, you got a work to do. You're saved by the finished work of Christ, but you believe in working for Jesus. And you believe in these wonderful fruits of the Spirit that begin to be born in your life. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And so, on the other hand, we don't receive folks into our membership that are lost. Now, we love on them. We pray for them. We help them. We do whatever we can. But they're not members of the family of God. Why? Because they're lost. This, oh, Brother Cal, that's so judgmental. I can hear some of my families right now. That's not judgment. That's just biblical, scriptural truth. And so we receive people on the basis of their regeneration or their salvation. But if somebody's born again and in right fellowship with the Lord, I'll baptize every frog in the pond. Hallelujah. And welcome them into our membership. So there's the first answer there. We receive people and we accept folks on the basis of their regeneration. So y'all got that? Here's the second truth. accept, we accept them on behalf of God's provision. Look at verse 14 and 15 of Philemon. Watch this now. Watch this. Stay with me. We're going somewhere. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose. He left for a little while for this purpose. Wow. That you might receive him forever. So what we see here is we accept folks on behalf of God's provision. We see God at work in their life. We see God's purpose being accomplished in their life. And when you take a look at everybody in this letter that Paul mentions, God is working behind the scenes in their lives. How many of you know the providence of God is at work in your life? And I mean, the providence and the purpose of God is what permitted Onesimus to get to Rome. The good Lord wanted Onesimus to be saved. And so he's working behind the scenes to do whatever he needed to do to get him saved. Paul says, for this purpose, salvation. You mean to tell me, Pastor, he's the one who was behind Onesimus robbing and thieving from his master? No! I know some of you all understand this. God is so much bigger than anything we can even imagine. He can turn your ashes into beauty. He can turn tragedy into triumph. God is working behind the scenes in your life and in my life to accomplish His purpose. And so the providence of God is always at work. Amen? And He's working for our good and His glory. Look at your neighbor and say, God is good. Y'all heard Catherine Walker up in here say, God is so good, he put another O in his name. Hallelujah. And so God's working behind the scenes in the life of Onesimus. And it was just in God's plan. It was for this purpose that he left Rome. Now, and think about this. Onesimus left Colossae as a slave, and he's going back to Colossae as a saint. You can't beat the Lord. How gracious God is. Now, I got to thinking about some of our folks here this week. Oh no, he's going to talk about me. It's no mistake that God has led you to this place. I don't know what in the world I'm doing here. Can I just tell you, I know why you're here, because God brought you here. He's the one that put you in your seat today. We need some more seats. Yeah, well, I'm going to be nice and not say what I was thinking. But what we've got here is God has a church home for every Christian, every believer. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian today. You belong to the body of Christ. And the only way you can become a part of that body of Christ is by salvation, and then to join up with a local fellowship of the local church and get busy serving God. Now, I don't know what took these folks so long, but I want Dwight Dixon and Frank and Sharon Clark and Darlene Gibson to stand up. Y'all stand up. Oh, what is he going to say? Sharon, this is your fault. You prayed for me this morning and told me to say what God was telling me to say. And so here it is. These folks have become, they're some of our newest members in the church. And Dwight, y'all know Dwight, he's fixing to teach a witnessing class here in adult Sunday school. It's going to be good. I can't wait. But Dwight came down, and I got to talking to him, you know, about Second Mile Church, and I said, how you like it, Dwight? And here's what he said. He said, I love it. I said, why do you love it? He said, because every time I come here and every time I'm around your people, I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And that's not because we're so good, it's because he's good. And then Frank and Sharon Clark, how long y'all been coming down here? 3-4 years? 3 years? And they have a wonderful ministry prayer ministry over on Memorial Drive. And they pray for folks. Some people will call them. Some people will text them. Some people even come by. And they pray that God would heal folks. And so they come from a little bit different flavor denominationally. Y'all understand what I'm saying? But I don't believe it. Well, anyways, Jesus is going to straighten all of us out one day. And so I got to asking them, what took y'all so long to join? And you know what they said? We were waiting on Dwight. And Darlene told me, after she had joined here and been through the membership class, I said, we're so glad to have you, Darlene. You're just a breath of fresh air in our church. And she said, I've been looking for a church like this all of my life. I'm not saying this to brag on us. I'm saying this to brag on Jesus. He's still in the business of bringing folks into the local body who love to serve Jesus and who honor the Lord by their presence and whatever. God has a local church for every Christian, every one of us. And He wants you to belong to a local body of believers so you can serve Him in and through the local church. I've shared this with y'all. I get in trouble wherever I go. But I get so tired of hearing, well, I don't think you've got to go to church to worship God. And basically what they're saying is, I don't believe in going to church. Well, here's the deal. Jesus left heaven for the church, for the bride of Christ. Jesus walked a sinless, perfect life for the church. Jesus died for the church. He was buried so that all of our sins could be put away. And He rose from the grave for the church. And then He ministered to the church. And right now, you know what He's doing? He's praying for the church. And bless God, one day He's coming for the church. Hallelujah. I'm not down on the local church. I'm up with the local church because we're not going down, we're going up. All right, here's the third truth. I've got to hurry. We need to accept him or her on the basis of their salvation, of their regeneration. We need to accept them on behalf of God's provision, of God's at work. And then there's a third thing here. We accept folks at the behest of their obligation. Onesimus was now saved and he was obligated. How many of you know we owe the Lord a debt? Amen. Watch this. Look at verse 11. Back in Philemon, Paul says, he was once unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I'm sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. You understand what Paul's saying? He said, man, if it was up to me, I'd keep this brother here. He's been a blessing to me. He's been profitable for me. He's been a spiritual windfall for my ministry. And he's helping me. He says, but without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be my compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. Wow. Onesimus had been very valuable to Paul after his salvation at the ministry there in the Roman prison. And by the way, do you know the name Onesimus means profitable? Isn't that cool? The thief had taken somebody else's possession, wound up getting saved, and his name is profitable. He's no longer stealing, he's serving. Hallelujah. And so, and by the way, the name Philemon, the slave owner, his name means affectionate. Affectionate. Now, what we've got here really is a play on words. And let me just kind of unpack that. Paul's telling, and he's writing to Philemon, he said, man, I know this cat was useless. You know, he was just a financial transaction for you. I mean, he made you some money. He did some things for you. He was a rebellious slave, but now he's a useful, productive servant in the Lord. And Paul loved Onesimus. He calls him what? Yeah. He said, man, I don't really want to send him back, but he needs to come back home and make things right with you and the local church, and you need to receive him that way. And so Paul recognized the need on the part of Onesimus to serve and to sacrifice, and he says, Philemon, I'm sending him home. And so Onesimus had lived up to his name, profitable. Would Philemon live up to his name, affectionate and lovingly and with deep joy and affection for this new brother in Christ? How would he receive him? Well, I believe that things went just as exactly as the Apostle Paul was praying that it would go. But the bigger issue is this. How profitable is your service in the local church? How is your sacrifice and your service looking? And I want to tell you, we have got so many profitable servants in our church. And it's not our church, it's His church. I need to quit saying that. It's His church. And I'm thinking of this cat here is behind the scenes. You would never know him, although he stands at the door and greets you when he comes in. Y'all know Paul? Paul Swiffer back here. Wave at everybody, Paul. Paul smiled for me. Doesn't he have a good smile? Don't put somebody who's been sucking on lemons at your door to greet people. And Paul's, he gives folks an outline of the sermon and he shakes their hand, whatever needs to be done, and he does a good job with that. But what you may not know is that Paul comes in here sometimes on Sunday evening, sometimes on Monday morning, and he puts our podcast together for us of the worship service, of the sermon. And he does that without any fanfare or anything. And then he also sends me an email on how many folks showed up and that kind of thing, how many we had in Sunday school. I mean, he is a productive servant for the Lord, and you probably didn't even know most of that. But you know who does know? Yes. And one day, I believe Paul Swiffer will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Yeah. And while I'm calling on names, let me pick on some family members, the Landrums. Peggy's saying, oh no. She and Paul go behind the scenes every single Sunday morning. And they show up early. They make coffee for all of these folks who are addicted to caffeine. And they set it up down here and they stop and they get donuts, which we all could probably do without, but they get some fresh goodies every Sunday right down here. And Peggy's always calling anytime we got a special event or something, man, she goes to Sam's and gets the goods for us, you know. And I want to tell you, Paul can fix anything. Don't call him. But he can. He can fix anything, and he's fixed a lot of things down here at the church. I could go on and on. Profitable service and sacrifice to the Lord. The Postels. I talked about them last week, so we're not going to let y'all get out of here. Y'all know they're getting close to having another baby. And they've got a table back there. You can go ahead and bless them today with something. Just put it on the table back there. But these two are always thinking out of the box about how we can reach folks. And they're always, am I right? I mean, they've got two with them, you know? And so they're always bringing somebody with them to experience the presence and the power of the Lord. And I could have called on dozens of y'all today. But that's who God laid on my heart to bring up. But can I say this? Isn't it wonderful that God still leads people to His church? Isn't it just like God to bring a thief into the flock? Isn't it just like God to bring somebody who's been kicked and beat up and laughed at and ridiculed in the world, and yet they get into the church of the living God and they're useful and productive for the kingdom? I don't know who God's leading here, but I want to tell you, I'll be the last person to stand in the way. If you're born again, now you need to be biblically baptized. Okay? But if you've got those issues covered and you're bearing fruit in your life, and everybody knows, everybody can see these things happening, then we're just going to say, welcome. Come on in. Because there's going to be another entrance one day, and you're going to be standing before the Master. And His name is Jesus. And what you hear then, in large part, is due to what's going on now. And how many of you want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Servant. Enter in to the joy of your salvation. What's God going to do with this message tonight, today, this morning? I don't know, but that's not up to me. That's up to Him and you. And maybe you're here today and you don't have a church home. Man, I'd love to talk to you about our church. And so would a lot of other folks here. God has a church home for you if you're a believer. Or maybe you're not a believer. You're not sure about your salvation. You're one of that 80 that we were talking about earlier. Listen, you don't have to leave here alone. You can leave here saved today if you just do what the Word of God says do. We'd love to talk to you about whatever God's laying on your heart. And you know, here's something else I believe, like the Apostle Paul, like Philemon, who was hosting the local church in Colossae. I believe God's calling people into the ministry here. We hadn't gotten bold enough to say, would you pray for me? I don't know what it is, but God's wanting me to do something vocationally. Or God's wanting me to do something occupationally. Or God's wanting me, He's calling me to some type of ministry. And I don't know what it is. But if you'll just respond in obedience and come to an old-fashioned offer and get some Spirit-filled believers praying with you and praying for you that'll be willing to give you good advice and good counsel, guess what? God doesn't play hide-and-go-seek with His will. And some of you need to come today. We're going to pray. And Andrew, you come on, wherever you are. And we're going to sing an invitational hymn, a hymn of response. And guys and gals, listen to me. I love you enough to tell you the truth. Don't get up and leave. This is the most important time of the whole service. Right now. Right now. I want to pray for you. And then we're going to respond in obedience to what God's calling us to do. Father, I thank You for the Word that You've given us from the Word. I just thank You, Lord, that we can know that You have a plan and a purpose for our lives, and it's involved being a part of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to lift up those that are amongst us this morning that need a church home. And I pray You would lead them to come today and say, Pastor, sir, ma'am, I'd love to become a part of Second Mile Church. And there are others here, Lord, that more importantly need to be a member of the family of God. And there's been no change in their life since they thought that they met the Lord or some other situation years ago, but they need Jesus. And I pray for them. And God, there's others that I believe you're calling out right now for some specific purpose. And there are those here that need believers' baptism, immersion. Oh, God, do what only you can and want to do here today. We pray this in the matchless name of our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. Andrew, you lead us.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.